We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest next tape you'll find online. Next all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Friday night Knicks happy hour edition, special edition of Knicks Fan TV. We got my man Anthony MSG in the building, longtime season ticket holder, diehard Knicks fan, the Knicks blog originator in the building. And we're going to talk Knicks, man. We're going to talk Knicks on this eight-game winning streak, this hot streak that we're on, and we're going to take calls from the fans, man. Just chop it up like the old days. And Ant, how you feeling, bro? Thanks for joining the show.
What's going on, CP? I'm feeling pretty good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm ecstatic that the Knicks are on this eight-game winning streak. I'm ecstatic. We've been playing good basketball all year. I'm ecstatic that it's the springtime. I'm going to be wearing shorts to the Garden tomorrow, and the game matters.
It matters,
Knicks,
bro.
Man, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Bro, when was the last time? I mean, it was 2012-13, right? When was the last time?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to
this good, man.
CP, if you go back to 2013-2014 season, when, you know, the year after we lost to the Pacers in the second round, that year was supposed to be a huge year. You brought in Bargnani, you know, Bina Udrich, Ron Artest. Of course, that didn't last. And we played so bad the first half of the year. We ended up winning 9 in a row to kind of close the season, and we missed the playoffs by one game that year. So that spring, we had a few important games that mattered. But really, the 2013 season.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's been remarkable, bro. Honestly, I didn't think the defense would be this good, and now the offense is coming around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously, when you hired Tom Thibodeau, you hope the defense is going to be great. You go back to his Minnesota days, the defense was not great there.
Yeah.
The defense was great in Chicago. It was great when he was an assistant in Boston and all that. So you hope the defense was going to be good, and it's been sensational. And the reason why I thought maybe it could be going into the season, I looked at these Knick players, and I said to myself, who could potentially be Tibbs' guys? I look at, even though he's been hurt a lot, Mitchell Robinson, Julius, and obviously nobody knew Julius Randle was going to play this good, but I did think Julius Randle could be a Tibbs guy. You know, they brought in Taj Gibson, a Tibbs guy, Derrick Rose later on, a Tibbs guy, Elliot Burks, Elfrid Payton, even though Elfrid Payton isn't exactly the greatest point guard of all time, you could tell he's a Tibbs guy. So I'm not surprised, how great they've been on defense. Offensively, especially lately, they've been awesome. You go back to the Hawks game. They said, yo, we could beat teams slowing you down 90 to 85. Oh, you want to run too? We'll beat you
130-something. Put 137 points up on the Hawks. And during that eight-game streak, they've been second in the league in offensive rating. So now the offense is starting to pick up. I love the fact that, you know, in that light, Reggie Bullock is starting to let it fly. He's torching the Nets. Quickly's had two back-to-back good games. How about Derrick Rose, man? The Derrick Rose pickup, I think, has been the key to this run. What do you think?
Yeah, Derrick Rose in the second half on Wednesday was sensational. Derrick Rose to close the game versus the New Orleans Pelicans on Sunday was great. Derrick Rose has been great. He knows his role. He's not Derrick Rose of 10 years ago, and Derrick Rose knows that. Tom Thibodeau knows that. and he's been a leader. He's made the right plays. He's been really savvy. You look at that play he did where he found Reggie Bullock to tie the game on Sunday. That was a great basketball IQ play, as well as a great play call by Tom Thibodeau. I mean, this team has regardless of what this team does in the playoffs, whether they win a round, win two rounds, win three rounds, or even just get to a game six of the first round and lose, and of course we'd all be super sad.
Right.
This team, and especially when you factor what's happened in the city the last 14 months, this team will be in our hearts forever.
Yeah, and that's all it takes, man. That's all it takes for the city to rally around you, man. Work hard, play hard, win games, and just show that you care, man. And the effort is there. You've seen it every night. And I think the biggest thing is that your leader is bought in. You know, Julius, again, he's gone on with Woj and said how much this team saved him. And he was looking for a coach in Tibbs that was going to hold him accountable. You know, you really don't hear that from a lot of these prima donna guys that, you know, just want to get the bag and just, you know, just want to play and not be told what to do. You know, Julius is 100% invested in this coach, and that trickles down because these younger guys are looking up to him. The way he looked up and respected Kobe, and you know, Meta came on and talked about how Julius grew up in front of his eyes, you know, from the Laker days to now. So I think that has a big impact on his team's success right now, bro.
You know, I thought, and I wasn't sure, I don't know Julius Randle personally. Like I just said in my last statement, I thought that Julius Randle had the potential to be a Tibbs type of guy. Again, did I know he was going to be this good offensively? No. But I just looked at him, and I'm like, he has dog potential.
Yeah.
And then you hear what he said on the Woj podcast. He wanted a coach to hold him accountable. I think Fizdale, they all wanted to be boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got rookies on the team calling them Fizz.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, yes, and saying he wanted a coach to hold him accountable, that was huge. And bringing in a guy like Tibbs, who's going to do that? So that's why every player, every athlete is not meant for a Tom Thibodeau type of guy.
True.
I equate what Tom Thibodeau is doing to the Knicks right now. It's kind of like what Tom Coughlin did for the Giants.
Yeah.
You know, when he came in, he probably had to tone it down a little bit.
Right.
But he still, you know, gave them the business.
Yeah.
And I think most of the Giant players back in those days, from Strahan to OC, Eli, all those guys, they all bought in. And kind of like this Nick team with Tibbs, they've all bought in.
They bought in. And I think the contrast between Tibbs and Coughlin is that there weren't any egos that Tibbs had to deal with coming in. You know, whereas Coughlin had to get Strahan
had some personality
together, you know what I mean? So it was a tough job. But I definitely agree with you just in terms of just bringing that structure and bringing, you know, that order. You know, come to work, play hard, fight hard, and you know, success will come. And this is where they are, man. Six games over 500, fourth seed in the East. It's been crazy, man. You're a season ticket holder. It's been a little bit different this season with COVID. I was there for the Kings game. We were there hanging out. But what's been the overall vibe just being there night after night and just feeling the energy at the Garden?
So, unfortunately, it's, you know, 2,000 fans every night. I've been at every home game since they opened that Tuesday night versus the Golden State Warriors on February 23rd. And I hate to say I've gotten used to it. I can't wait till they allow more fans. I think for the playoffs it's going to be 25%. I'm lucky that I've been able to go to every game. The vibe has been great since day one. I would say the first 2 to 3 games there was a nervous vibe from the fans. I think just from being back in social settings.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way it is now at the Garden, it's a lot more lenient. You can walk around the hallway and say hi to people. You know, I'm sure you got a lot more people getting vaccinated now. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, everybody there is COVID tested as well. The vibe in the Garden has been amazing because, as I've been saying, it's the people that work on Wall Street that make billions of dollars that are in the suites eating, you know, caviar are not at the games. You know what I'm saying? It's us.
Yeah,
it's us real ones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why you're seeing all these videos after the game of these people just going nuts. And a lot of these videos are a lot of probably 17 to 24-year-olds, and at least us CP, granted, we've never seen a championship. We've seen success in the 90s. We saw the Knicks go to the finals in 94. We saw the Knicks have a great team in 97 and we lost to the Heat in the second round. We saw the Knicks get to the finals in 99, losing the conference finals in 2000. If you're a fan that age, all you have is losing to the Pacers in the second round, Melo getting blocked by Roy Hibbert,
Lin Sanity,
and an 8-game winning streak with Amari. I mean, that's all you got. You got nothing.
Nothing.
You got nothing.
Nothing, man.
So these kids that are leaving the games, I mean, I'm just as happy as them. Also, I'm not drinking at the games that much. There's definitely probably some alcohol involved.
You could definitely hear that with 2,000 people, man. You could definitely hear.
But it's fun to see, man. You walk out of the game, literally, CP, I am slapping five with 100 fans in a row. It's so amazing. I know tomorrow's vibe. It's a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Going for 9 in a row. We haven't won 9 in a row since March of 2014. The vibe tomorrow is going to be electric.
It's going to be electric. Absolutely. And the thing is that even though it's 2,000 people, like, there's still the energy in there. It still feels that same energy of a sold-out crowd. You know, it can still get that loud. So it was great to be there. I'll be there Monday. I'll be there Monday against the Suns.
Okay,
so,
I'll be there.
Yeah, so we'll link up and do the thing.
And it looks like restaurants are open till 12 now.
Yeah.
So if we have
we
to eat after,
we got an
we
hour.
We'll grab something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Although the deli was fire.
Yeah, the deli was good. Fire. The deli was good, man. But overall, just being out in NYC, and that was really the first time I was kind of out, you know, in public in a while. And, NYC just felt like the set of I Am Legend or something, man. It was a ghost town, we
watched a fight on the corner of 31st and 8th. We still don't know what they were fighting about,
man. But
somebody, I think it was over somebody laughing at somebody.
Yeah. It's sensitive, man. The pandemic has got people on edge. But overall, good time. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. They extend it to 9 and then into Monday against Phoenix.
Unbelievable.
Monday's
game is a battle of the Coach of the Year candidates, by the way.
Yeah, Monty Williams, former Nick.
Tom Thibodeau.
Former Nick, man, against Tibbs. So,
number two.
Yeah,
number
so
two.
That should be a good matchup. Definitely looking
Dame
forward to that.
Came in with Charlie Ward.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Charlie Ward, the last Nick rookie
to get a second contract.
Which is crazy.
It is absolutely mind-boggling. Yeah.
Who you think is going to break the curse, man?
I mean, I'm not in the Frank hive. I certainly don't hate Frank. If Frank is here for 5 years, I don't care. I mean, got new braids, might as well. Frank is part of the braids gang, unless Frank gets big money from somewhere else. Kevin Knox is not going to be.
Yeah.
RJ Barrett should be. Mitchell Robinson should be.
Yeah.
Although with the way we're playing without Mitch, maybe he becomes more expendable in the future.
Stuff.
And you just give Noel some money and it's bringing another big. Or you keep big number 14. So I would say it's probably going to – if you're going to bet on it, I would say RJ.
I think
maybe
it's RJ.
Frank.
Yeah.
Kevin Knox, I doubt it. I want to root for Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox got me so hyped in the 2018 Summer League, I was ready to put his jersey in the rafters. He had a couple putback dunks in that Summer League in 2018. I'm like, this boy can't play.
Kev had us all gassed, man.
My opinion on Kevin Knox and – you know, I've been fortunate the last, you know, to watch the games very close to the court. I just think that the talent is there. And to me, it feels like he's sleepwalking out there.
Yeah. The motor,
but then all of a sudden,
you'll
see
Sun
grab
man.
A rebound, go 94 feet, and dunk on somebody from the foul line.
Yeah.
And you're like, the hell?
He was just sleeping the last 10 minutes
on the court.
Typical Nick. I think it'll be RJ.
I'm just not sure if
they keep Mitch, man. I'm just not sure. The way they're trying to
build this
team. I
used to be sure.
Because
Nerlens is still young.
Bro.
Nerlens is not, he's not an old geezer.
Nerlens is still young, and when they do pull the trigger on a star trade, you're not trying to put RJ in that deal. And you're not going to try to put Julius
RJ,
in that deal.
RJ and Randall should be here to stay.
Right.
And that's how you build a core.
Yeah.
And so, the Knicks have done a million things wrong in the last 20 years. And one of the things that hasn't happened in Knicksland at all is any sort of stability. Now, granted, you can win a championship, and the next year you bring in some new players. That's part of sports.
Right.
But at some point, you have to have guys stay here. So you get a guy like a Julius Randle. Have him stay here. You keep RJ Barrett. You keep even if it's Frank Ntilikina. You got to eventually get guys to stay here. I don't want to even think about next year right now as we're about to be in the playoffs, but at some point, you got to get guys to stay here, and you build a culture. And you get guys like a Julius Randle and RJ Barrett that have been here 4 years, 5 years, and they say, yo, come rock with us. We're getting there. You can't just keep changing the entire roster every year or two, or keep changing the coach every year or two, changing the president, changing the GM. That doesn't work. We'll never see what Greg Popovich has done with the Spurs, right? But hopefully Tom Thibodeau could be here 10 years.
Hey,
I mean, that would be amazing.
They gave him a 5-year deal, and so far, year one, he's earning it. So we'll see what happens, man. We'll definitely see what happens. Now, again, you know, part of the memories for you being a Knicks fan and being a long time season ticket holder has been the times that you've gone with your sister, and your sister is no longer with us. She lost her battle to cancer. Just tell us about, you know, what those memories are like and how the Knicks were involved in helping you guys and really supporting your fight.
Yeah, for sure. Like, obviously, my sister didn't root for the Knicks like me. I mean, nobody really does. I'll never forget a few years ago, Mike Breen said to her, are you a big Knicks fan as your brother? And G said, God, no.
Yeah.
And Mike Breen said, good, because your brother's nuts. So I brought G to her first Knicks game when she was 4 years old. And she loved every second of it. And G has been coming to Knicks games with me since 2003, you know, 10, 15 games a year. She rooted for the team. She cared. And if you know, if you go to the Garden a lot, you know, it's a lot of the same people that work there, from ushers, security guards, team employees, and it's a family. And people there watched her grow up. They watched her come to the Garden at 4 years old. They watched her beat cancer the first time at 12 years old. And they watched her be in remission for 7 years. And she got to know so many people there, especially her favorite player, Allen Houston. And I got this picture next to me. So this picture was in the year 2000. So when G was,
hold it up again. Let me throw it up in the camera. Go ahead, bro. Yeah. Yep.
So this is from the about December of 2000, my senior year of high school. So G was about a year and a half, and the picture was on the fridge. And G would see it, the picture, and then she'd see Allen Houston get buckets on TV, and she would be like, my boy, my boy, my boy.
Oh, that's right.
Then I brought her to her first game a few years later, and she wore the number 20 jersey. And then a few years after, as I started to work in sports, I developed a very close friendship with Allen Houston. And the first time G got sick, you know, he was there. He was always there. He was at the hospital. He was always praying. And then over the last 7-8 years, always stayed close with Allen. Every time me and, you know, G's at the game, she always hangs with him. And then when G had the stroke, one of the first people at the hospital was Allen Houston. You know, he was there. I didn't put it on social media. You know, it wasn't for that. Allen was there. And there was times, especially like after the stroke, after she was diagnosed with glioblastoma, I would meet up with Allen at the Garden, and we would go into back rooms of the Garden. He would pray. Him and I would pray together. And then, you know, take it back to June 18th. On June 18th, obviously, G had a rare form of brain cancer called glioblastoma, which is basically, not, unfortunately, not curable. And it came with a stroke also. So not only was she battling the cancer, she couldn't walk. And the way she went about this fight was like 90s Knicks to the, you know, millionth power. She was so tough, man. And on June 18th, they said to me, we recommend stopping treatment. And I was her power of attorney, guardian, medical proxy, everything. So they said, we recommend stopping treatment. And then that night, I was FaceTime with Allen Houston. And he's like, let's do a prayer. And I don't remember, you know, half the words of that prayer. But I remember towards the end, Allen said, you know, Father, when it's time to take her, please make sure it's painless. And then she ended up living 2.5 more months. After this, they said she was only probably going to live a week. And then when she passed, she did pass in her sleep, and it was painless. And, you know, Allen Houston's role with me and my sister throughout this whole thing has been absolutely incredible. And, you know, especially the fact that he was one of my heroes growing up. And I always thought from a distance, I'm like, man, this dude's like a good dude. And then I got a chance to meet him. We developed such a great friendship. You know, he's always checking in on me like once a week, all the time, sending me voice notes, encouraging me to, you know, keep her legacy alive and, you know, always telling me I have a purpose. And Allen's been sensational, man.
Man, that's incredible. That's an incredible story, man. Salute to H2O. And, yeah, as you said, you know, growing up watching him, you could always tell, like, he was a good dude. But, you definitely got to know him on a personal level, and what he did was definitely commendable.
Yeah, I mean, we were going into, like, you know, back rooms of the Gardens to pray. And, like I said, I'll never forget that night when I called him. I said, Al, like, you know, they're stopping treatment. And, obviously, you didn't have to say it's almost over. You knew. And I just never forget when he said, Father, when you take her, just please make sure it's painless. And it was.
Man, well, it's definitely send my condolences to you again.
And if CP, if you or anybody listening believes in good energy, The Knicks have not lost a game since G's staff was at the Memphis game and the Raptors game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. You took that, or you guys celebrated.
The Knicks organization gave the first on Friday night versus the Memphis Grizzlies. We brought six of the nurses from the Children's Hospital, and then on the Sunday game, we brought the other team. We brought her main doctor, radiation guy, art therapist, massage therapist, nurse practitioner, our social worker. These are both groups we've known for 10 plus years, all of them. And if you're one that believes in good energy, good karma, the Knicks have not lost since our team has been there.
Wow. That's dope, man.
You know, really, and everybody knows, like, you know, there's nothing that can make me happy right now except the Knicks winning. And G knows that. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have been hitting me up saying G has something to do with this, because that's literally the only thing that can make me happy is the Knicks winning right now. And it's happening.
That's dope, man. That's a dope and beautiful story, man. Wow, that's incredible. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP Anthony MSG in the building. We are talking Knicks. It's also a mailbag show as well. We're gonna get to some of your calls in a second. Remember, the Discord is available. The phone lines are also available. So give us a call, 657-383-1509, and the Discord is also available. We got some Twitter questions coming in, and so the people are definitely excited about this one. Let's go to the phones first, though. Let's go to Ron from Baltimore. he was down for this, man. He sent two questions, and now he's calling in. So let's give Ron from Baltimore the first question. Ron, how you doing, bro?
CP, you got a Knicks legend with you right now.
Absolutely, bro.
So special. You both are legends. But, and you know, since you've been out of it, CP's my guy, but I've been calling him for years, man. And it's a special person. He's like family. He's about the right things. He loves the Knicks. Huge fan. I'll tell you just a really crazy story. I went to Anthony's place. I came from Baltimore to New York just to watch a game with him on television when we beat the Celtics in the playoffs in 2013. That's how passionate we are about this. But
this family's strong.
I just have a question.
Very strong family.
Yes. I have two questions for Anthony. To me, when I hear Tibbs talk, I feel like I'm back in the 90s, and maybe I'm just being sentimental because that's what we love, and everybody listening to this loves those 90s teams. But I just feel like since he was here, when he talks, the no-nonsense, but you're going to have to earn your minutes. Nothing is given. We got what we deserve tonight. Just like I feel like there's just no nonsense that I can sleep well at night. I want to get your thoughts on that. And also, I don't want to look too far ahead, but to me, we all know point guard needs to be addressed, and that's in the future. To me, Kyle Lowry feels like a New York Knicks type of player. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, on the 90s thing, remember, Tibbs was on those staff with Jeff Van Gundy.
From that
and
tree.
There's no getting around the fact we didn't do a lot of winning after Van Gundy left. So, of course, all of our great memories as Knicks fans go back to those days. And Tibbs is kind of like a Van Gundy clone. It's almost the same mannerism, same stuff. Obviously, Tibbs has been coaching more the last 15 years, so he's opened up his offense a little bit. Where if Jeff was coaching now, I'm sure he would as well. I don't think Jeff would have the point guard walk it up and dump it down in 2021 every time. But I know what you're saying. When you watch Tibbs, you think of Jeff Van Gundy. You think of those late 90s teams, and just his attitude is no nonsense. And even he has some humor too. So I get you feel a safeness with Tibbs that we haven't felt probably in 20 years. And I love Woody. I didn't hate D'Antoni. I never felt safe with D'Antoni. I felt kind of safe with Woody. Didn't feel safe with Fisher. Didn't feel safe with Hornacek.
No.
Damn sure didn't feel safe with Fizdale. Didn't feel safe with Larry Brown. I feel safe with Tibbs.
Yeah.
And as far as your other question about point guard, you don't have – if you could – as a basketball – if someone who knows basketball – I like to think that I do, CP does, you do as well. You could totally understand why Tibbs trusts Elfrid Payton. Now, from a bet, Elfrid does play great defense. He does know how to run an offense, quote. Now, as a fan, when you're at the games and you're watching on TV, of course, it drives you nuts that Elford is literally like 7 for 800 on shots in the paint. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most of all the frustrating things the Knicks have done the last 30
Brick
years.
From 3 feet
Elford Payton missed shots in the paint.
Construction
they,
worker.
They do drive me nuts.
Construction worker from 3 feet out, man. That's the thing that kills really me.
It's really, but you know, but you could understand why Tibbs trusts him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the shots in the paint, my lord.
Kills me, bro. Kills me. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Tibbs comes from that Van Gundy coaching tree, which is the Riley coaching tree, which, you know, they want guys working hard, right? I mean, the Heat, you got to come in physical, peak physical yep. condition.
They'd be testing your body fat.
Yeah, or else you're gone. And Tibbs is that way. And all these guys came in, they came in ready and prepared, and that's Tibbs. I think it seems like he's learned from the Minnesota stint. You know, I had John Trozinski on from The Athletic who covered him with the Timberwolves and said that, you know, it seemed like Tibbs was buried in the playbook and not really concerned with maintaining player relationships and things like that. Then you hear what Julius Randle says. He says, you know, this is the guy I want to play for. He's a player's coach. He's a soft.
All the players love him. You can
all
tell.
The players love him now, right?
Not quickly walking in with a T-shirt with Tibbs on it,
right,
you know?
Right. So I think it's the whole CAA thing has something to do with it as well, like with Leon and Wes and Tibbs yep. and everybody being on the same accord there. And then you have the Kentucky connection with Kenny Payne also there. So I think overall they've done Woodson, a player's coach, known to be a player's yep. coach. And so overall I think they've done a great job of just putting a you know, symbiotic group together. And that's paid off on the court. That's definitely paid off on the court. On the point guard thing, you know, Lowry, okay, that'd be fine. Yo, I'd like to say, can we find somebody for the future, bro? Can we find somebody that's going to be here 3 years?
You go
longer,
into next
bro?
Year and the team is like, Lowry's the missing piece to win a
right,
championship.
Right. Yeah.
I get it. But if we're not quite there just yet, I'm still not against Kyle Lowry. We got to see what happens in you know, the offseason. But I you know, he's been in the league since 2006
now. He's done
now.
His days, man.
Had a lot of tread on the tire.
Yeah, I'm not going. I want the future in. I want the present.
No,
and
no,
the
me
future,
too.
Man.
I don't know if I love Lonzo as much either. But I it's not going to be Elfrid Payton, I don't think.
No.
I love to keep Derek. I love as long as Tibbs is coaching, Derek Rose.
Yeah, I think
and Todd
he'll have
Gibson
a role. Yeah, yeah. I think Rose will find a role on his roster, man.
You know, 100%. Todd Gibson going to be 50 years old. You know,
yeah,
on the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, 14th man.
They're going to have Todd in that Udonis Haslam lifetime
yeah,
contract.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
But Todd has been great this
Todd
year.
Todd has been good. Yeah, yeah.
Todd's been great for what he for his role is incredible.
Yeah, I didn't want Todd to leave, bro. I wanted Taj to be here.
Not at all.
And you know, he was making $10 million, so I understood it financially. But I'm like, yo, Taj can still help us. Tibbs is here. It's a no-brainer.
He's still really
he
good.
Get
that's
the, yeah.
the thing about Taj,
he can get
man.
The locker room together. He knows his role, right? When he needs to do more, he'll give you a little bit more. When he needs to just settle in and get the other guys involved, he'll
yep.
do that as well. Set some
you gotta
screens.
You
got to
start him. You can start him.
Yeah,
you
got to
play
it.
Him 10 minutes, 30 minutes. He's going to get on the floor.
Facts.
He can make a shot here and there. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to get blocks. He's going to play tough defense. Taj Gibson is a Knick.
Taj goes 12 rounds. He's a 12-round boxer, man, what he's playing.
Absolutely.
Man. So salute to Taj. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. All right, let's switch up and go to the Discord. Let's go to Tommy Midnight. You're about to be live with CP and Anthony MSG. Tommy, how you doing, bro?
Hello.
Yo.
Hello, we here?
Yeah, you live and direct, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm live and direct. Okay, hold on. Let me just get this speaker on.
All right. Where are you checking in from, man? Australia?
No. No, I'm from London, UK.
Okay.
What's going on, brother?
Yeah, man, you know, listen, I just wanted to talk about one thing and one thing only, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that's D. Rose. Mm.
You still there?
Yeah, you guys hearing me?
We're waiting on you, bro. Get ahead.
Yeah. Listen,
speak on it, brother.
I'm trying to get you on a speaker here.
No, you don't want to be on a speaker.
No, you don't
want to
be on the speakerphone. Just talk directly into your set, bro. We can hear you loud and clear.
Cool,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a 40-year-old dude. I remember the Ewings and the Starks, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and I remember the pain of almost getting there, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that we really, really haven't, you know, haven't really been anywhere really until this last run that we've just had of 8 games. Man, I'm excited again. And that's cool. But what I wanted to talk about was D. Rose is actually, I don't think he's being talked about enough. And what I mean by that is that he's on a hot streak, as far as I'm concerned. He's 33 years old, and usually a load of people, they would usually say that a guy in 33 years old, and remember, half of his career has been injured, right? But we're talking about an MVP caliber player, a guy, he won an MVP, he was injured, and that ruined his career, kind of. But now he's back, and he's on form, and he's doing things. I don't know, maybe at one point he might even become a starter, yeah? But what I'm saying is that Derrick Rose, with the experience that he has, I think he's bringing a lot more to the team than people are talking about.
100%. 100%, bro. And you hit it on the head with Rose, man. Even at half of who he was, you could still see how much of an impact he's having on this team, especially on the second unit, especially with Quickly. You see in his chemistry with Toppin, because Rose can push that pace. He's the opposite of Peyton, who's the slug. He's slowing that pace down. Rose is getting him out. He's getting him out in transition as best as he can. That benefits Obi. It benefits Quickly by having a more reliable ball handler on the other side that can get Quickly his shots off ball. So Rose has been a key for this run, definitely.
Well, what else I want to say is that with the age that he has and the experience that he has, his game has changed too. So, now that he's fit, let's pray that he doesn't get any more injuries, because if he stays fit, I think that his experience – did you see the last game against Atlanta where he went 6-for-6 on the FGs?
Yeah.
I mean, FG, he just did a floater from the side, like it was like vintage Rose.
Yeah, absolutely right, man. So, absolutely right.
So I think we can sit here now and we can say, oh, this could happen, that could happen, blah blah blah. But Derrick Rose could happen, is what I'm saying.
No, Derrick Rose is happening. I mean, Derrick Rose has been great.
Happening.
Yeah, he's happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that he could start. And the reason Tibbs brings him off the bench is kind of like what CP was talking about. In the starting lineup, you have scoring with R.J. Barrett. You have scoring with Julius Randle. You have the slug in Elfrid Payton. But usually Elfrid, first to the bench, and then you change the pace. And then you bring in Derrick Rose. You bring in Quickly. You bring in Obi Toppin. And that just makes – bring in Taj. And that just makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense why – And trust me, in the playoffs, Derrick Rose's minutes are probably going to go up a little bit. And most games down the stretch, it's Derrick Rose closing. Derrick Rose who found, Reggie Bullock last Sunday. It was Derrick Rose who had big buckets on Wednesday down the stretch. Derrick Rose is running the team down the stretch as well. And remember, it's not always about who starts. It's about who finishes.
Yeah, and I just hope that, when they get closer and make this playoff push, that Tibbs manages the rotations wisely and that – Derrick Rose can handle the increased minutes, because it seemed like whether it was after COVID or just, being older and wanted to watch his wear and tear, it seems like they've been kind of monitoring his minutes. So
As they should.
There's no doubt, man. Derrick Rose's impact on this team, he can't be understated. He's been incredible, and it just goes to show you what competent point guard play can do for this team.
Oh,
how much it can elevate. And again, it's not a knock on Peyton, but what Rose is doing is just head and shoulders above what Peyton is doing, and it's what we need to move this team forward. And that's part of the reason why the offense is
Derrick Rose
is
makes winning plays. End of games, Derrick Rose is making winning plays. He's making the right plays. He's getting good great baskets, and he's finding the guys for big shots.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the end-of-game situations, closing situations. We saw that one against the Pelicans on Sunday where he found Bullock for the three to put it into overtime. I think having Rose out there to close as well gives us an option, a more reliable ball handler, so that you don't have to go to Randle in isolation and settle for that. Maybe you can have Rose set him up or have Rose get a better shot, a better look at the basket on the drive. So I think he can add a different dynamic in closing situations as well.
And Derrick can get a shot whenever he wants.
Right.
Obviously he's not a great outside shooter, but he can create a shot 22 feet out. He can get to the paint and get fouled.
Mid-range has been pretty good.
He can make that little runner. He can if we need a shot, Derrick Rose can, him, guys like Alec Burks, of course, Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, they can create their own shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important that Derrick Rose can do that.
Absolutely, man.
Especially in the playoffs when the game will slow down.
Facts, facts, facts. All right, let's go to a Twitter question. My guy David Furtenick out there in California. Shout out my guy Dave and the L.A. Knicks crew. He says, he sent a Twitter question. He says, what is your favorite game that you've ever attended at MSG?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's easy to say my first Knick game was April 2nd, 1994, our 16th straight win. I was 10 years old. But, excuse me, my favorite Knick game I've ever been to was the first playoff game I ever went to. It was May 12th, 1999 versus Miami Heat, game three. Mm. It was a cool story. So that season, it was the lockout season. Mm-hmm. And when tickets would go on sale, my uncle would always take me to one or two games, and my grandmother would order the tickets. So when tickets went on sale that year, my uncle was mad at the lockout, and he said no games this year because he was mad at the players and the owners.
Yeah.
So I was like, man. So then my grandmother got on the Knicks season ticket wait list when I was like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Monday night. I believe it was May 5th. We had to play the Celtics that night, and if we won that game, we clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I get home from school that Monday afternoon, CP. And there's a letter in the mail from the Knicks addressed to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by my grandparents, by the way. So obviously I wasn't just going to open my grandparents' mail. But it was from the Knicks, so I opened it.
Yeah.
And the letter said, dear Jeannie, because you're on the playoff ticket, the season ticket wait list, you have won the right. Now, mind you, there's no StubHub and any of that stuff back then.
Yeah.
You have won the right to purchase tickets to games 3 and 4 of the first round. All you have to do is call Ticketmaster with a code, and the code was NYK wait, and you have to buy both games, though, games 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And so I showed it to my grandmother. You know, she was in a wheelchair from having a stroke a few years prior, so she's like, listen, I got no problem. I'll even pay for them, but your uncle's got to take you.
Mm.
So I called my uncle. I said, listen, we got this letter in the mail. It says we can go to the playoffs, and if we win tonight, we're probably going to play Miami. So my uncle's like, all right, cool. So we got tickets to the games 3 and 4 versus the Heat. So not only I was so pumped to go to a Knick playoff game, but it was versus the Heat in 1999.
Yeah.
You know how crazy that was?
Of course.
So one of my favorite moments ever as a Knick fan was about 18 minutes before the game started, right? Mm-hmm. I snuck down by the court. I was like 10 rows from the court. And you see the whole Knick team on Garden Vision, and they was blasting New York by Rakim. And then they got into the DMX chant, and then they took the court to Super Thug. The chills, CP, man. I can't explain the chills I felt through my body for that moment.
Yeah.
No, and then, like, after they played Super Thug, they played Hate Me Now,
oh,
and they put Holla Holla by Ja Rule. So the beats
ready
were on
to go
point.
To war.
The music
yeah.
was on point.
Yeah, yeah.
The energy was ridiculous. We won the game 97-73. Tim Hardaway got ejected. It was – the whole guard was chanting, Riley sucks.
It's a good old days, man.
Wow, what a moment. What a moment that was, being at that game. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
that
was the Knicks Heat rivalry.
My first playoff game versus the Heat?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, you couldn't make that up.
Yeah, the Knicks Heat games always get you going, man.
And we won. We went on like a 35-2 run in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Garden was – you know, there was no social media. Nobody was on their phones. And then Spree was the sixth man.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool because as soon as the tip-off started, everybody's yelling, put in Spree, put in Spree. As soon as Jeff called, Spree runs to the center court and the place is going crazy. So that was my favorite, you know, game I ever went to at Madison Square Garden, without a doubt.
The thing about Spree was like, you know, yes, Starks was coming to the end. It was still hard to lose Starks.
It
you,
was.
You know
as
what I'm
a
saying?
Fan, but from a like, – so two things on those two trades. So the Spree for Starks trade I knew was a great trade.
Yeah.
But I was heartbroken because Starks was my hero.
100%. 100%.
My hero. Like when I was a freshman in high school on the freshman team and John Starks' grandmother was sick, I had John Starks' grandmother's initials on my wristband. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that broke my heart, but I knew it was legit.
Right.
I am proud to say, and I know like, I don't know how you feel about it. I know he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I am very proud to say that when I was 14 years old, when the Oakley for Camby trade went down, I always loved Marcus Camby at UMass. I thought he was a cool dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when we got Marcus Camby, I was on the MSG Network message board. When every Knick fan was crying. And granted, Oakley was still good.
Yeah.
I said, this is a great trade.
Yeah.
And my 14-year-old ass was getting crushed on the message boards. MSGNetwork.com. Remember those old message boards?
Yeah, of course.
Nobody was on my side. Okay. And I was like, yo, we're finally getting – because that was the first time in my life as a Knicks fan. Well, I was, you know, I was 14 and about to be 15. We got somebody like young and good.
Yeah, right.
It was a few months before Sprewell.
Right.
So we had a bunch of old guys. We finally got to, you know,
it
even
was
when
time,
we got Darren
man.
Harper, he was
it
older.
It was time, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, we – oh, Alan Houston was young. But we like, yo, we got somebody young and dope. And he led the league in –
young and on the rise. Yeah, young and on the rise. And the can-be putbacks and, you know,
yeah,
dunking
so
on people's
was,
backs.
I was ecstatic
yeah.
when we got
yeah,
Martin.
Man. I definitely love the can-be trade. Definitely love the can-be trade. And Spree became a fan favorite very fast, you know, coming off
very
the whole
fast.
Thing with PJ.
You remember
Thomas,
his first preseason game? It was a Wednesday night versus the Nets, and all the tickets were free.
No.
You remember that?
Then, no.
The same night, though, St. John's went up to Syracuse and beat Syracuse for the first time in ages. Bootsy Thornton had like 30-something. Ron Artest had a big game as well.
Shout
so
out
it was
to
a
Ron,
great, it was a great Wednesday night in January of 1999.
Yeah. Shout out to Meta, man. Meta was on the show a couple weeks ago, so it was definitely good to
that
have
squad,
him on.
By the way, that St. John's squad is one of my favorite teams.
Oh, I love that squad.
History.
Love that squad. Eric
that
Barkley,
squad
Bootsy, Ron, LeVar
Postel, Tyrone Grant.
Was that was Grant the big man? Who's the big
man?
That was Grant. That was Grant, right? Yeah.
That
was the squad, man.
That lost to Ohio State.
Crushed me, bro.
That broke my heart.
Crushed me, man, because I really thought they had a chance, man. I used to go to Alumni Hall, go to the games,
yeah.
or at the Garden.
I went to
man.
St. John's UConn at the Garden that year.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
That was a big game. St. John's Duke.
Clint Ellamy and Richard Hamilton.
Yeah, man. The St. John Duke clashes were always classic.
Ron set the game to overtime.
Yeah. And he talked about that.
It was a great game.
Yeah, he talked about that on the show, man. So, yeah, that St. John's team, I really wish they would have went far, man. Salute to Mike Jarvis as well. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CP and Anthony here reminiscing. Salute to Ron Hansley, our guy Ron Hansley. Anthony says, salute to the bro Anthony MSG. He's the reason I got to hoop on the Garden floor. Granted,
what's
I shot
Ron?
0-for-1 and got fatigued after a few fast break plays. But my guy's really making dreams come true out here. Salute to Ron Hansley. Season ticket. I believe he's a season ticket holder, but he's at
yeah,
plenty
of games. Yeah, I see
Ron
all the time at the Garden.
Yeah, he was just – yeah, we're just together this week, right?
Yep, I saw him the other day, yep.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
Salute to Ryan Hansley. Another super chat came in. I'll find that question, but I don't see it on my dashboard here, so just hang tight. All right, let's get back to the phones, see who wants to chop it up with Anthony MSG. Let's go to my guy A.O. Powell, another one of the L.A. Knicks squad. A.O. Powell, what's going on, bro?
Was really good, man. CP and salute to y'all, man.
What's good, bro? How you doing, man?
My guy. How are you?
I'm doing really well, man. Been a Knicks fan since 92, but in 92 I was like, you know, like 7 years old.
Yeah.
No, not seven. But like the other day, my teen years was like during the Starberry era. So I seen the whole spectrum of like good Knicks when they were just good from like really terrible to now. So I'm like, the new young fans now are very blessed to be seeing RJ Barrett and they get to rock that kind of jersey growing up because I had Sweetney. So, but anyway,
you actually had a Sweetney. You know what's funny? You bring up Michael Sweetney. So I was interning at ESPN Radio, right? And I remember like there was some talk that maybe we could get like Kevin Garnett in the trade. I mean, it was probably never going to happen. And I remember like I was screening the calls for Kay, Stephen A., all them guys, you know. And you would guess, like, under no circumstances do you trade Michael Sweetney, even if you go and get Kevin Garnett in his prime.
Oh, my Lord.
Because Mike Sweetney has a nose for the ball.
Oh, my Lord,
so,
bro.
Man, some of the takes, and, you know, we've all missed, because we've been so bad for so long, sometimes we've all had some horrible takes.
Sure. I mean, yo, listen, we've been fooled by a lot of these guys, man.
Sweetney
was an animal with Georgetown, man. He was an animal with Georgetown. I thought he was going to come in and do the same thing. But, that wasn't the case for him, man. Fell in some hard times, too, so salute to Sweetney.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to you for having the Sweetney jersey, though. Big number 50.
Big 50, man. Big 50.
I thought Maje Lampe was going to be the next Dirk.
Yeah, I thought that was KP before KP, bro.
Word.
What other?
He had a big preseason game in D.C. in 2003.
Yeah. Never did anything.
A friend of mine who worked for the Knicks at the time said that Lampe hated the lighting in the Garden.
What?
That's all the information I got. He was like, yeah, I used to talk to him, and Son always said, you know, I hate the lighting. I think the lighting is good for shooters there, but what the hell do I know?
Yeah, what do we know, man? What do we know? Go ahead, pal. Go ahead, go ahead.
Man, nah, I know. I mean, see, like, it's funny you were talking about the message boards because, like, I'm moderating the community here. And the more things change, the more they stay the same because, like, we're getting, like, a lot of young people with, like, some crazy takes. So it's just really funny you said that.
Yeah.
But my question is, how did you get started on this, man? How did you set it off just being, like, how did you get your career off to the point where you can live off your fandom with the Knicks? And, you know, CP can drop in on this, too. And just a bonus question, just a selfish one on my part. What's, like, your go-to dish or, like, what's your go-to food and drink situation when you go to the Garden? CP, you can give me that answer, too, man. Yep, salute to y'all, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Well, to answer the last question, to make it simple, well, before pandemic or now? We'll go before pandemic. Luckily, I'm blessed. I usually eat in the Delta Lounge.
Yeah,
I'm very blessed with that. But if I have to go to the concourse, I'm going with the pastrami sandwich and a knish. it's from like the Carnegie Deli.
Yeah.
Nice thick pastrami sandwich, some hot deli mustard, the knish. You got the mustard with the knish too. So that's what I'm going with on the Actually, and also the new chicken sandwich with Mike's Hot Honey.
All right.
Those are my go-tos on the concourse.
All right. I mean, I'm with you, bro. If I get the plug for Delta, I'm in Delta all day. All the food is exquisite.
Of course, and that food is from
Tao. Yeah. All the food over there is exquisite. If not, you know, no disrespect to the workers on the concourse, I'm waiting and I'm going to Pizza Supreme after the game, bro.
Okay,
you already know.
You already know. If he asks for Supreme, I'll give you my go-to.
I'm just going to wait it out. I might grab some chicken fingers and some fries if I'm real hungry. But if not, I'll eat a little before the game, and then I'm going to Pizza Supreme.
Remember Ranch One chicken fingers?
Yeah, 1,000%, bro. Ranch One was popping. And you would always smell that honey mustard, man. That honey mustard was popping from Ranch One, man. Yeah, Ranch One days was popping. They used to have, like, real skinny fries.
But a super bougie line is funny. As, you know, is she known as Nick's chick on here, Maria?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we was talking the other day. It was like, you know, I've only paid for food on the concourse, like, 3 times in the last 10 years. Sorry, y'all. That was kind of bougie.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm still real, but, you know, I just had to keep it real on that one. But as far as, like, my career, I was 20 years old. I got an internship at ESPN Radio. I worked with Brandon Tierney, Stephen A. Smith, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca. Ended up getting hired. I helped produce the pre- and post-game shows for the New York Knicks. Brandon was the host. I was his guy. So I was in the Garden. I was in the locker rooms when I was 21 years old. Now, as far as the locker room stuff, I didn't love that. And I always say this to my good friend Ian Bailey. I don't want to be Ian. I don't want to be Frank. Well, definitely don't want to be Frank. But I wanted to do something different. And they used to tell me sometimes at ESPN, going back to like 05, mm-hmm. like, not yesterday, like, you know, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. you can't be in this space and promote your fandom. But I said, mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to.
Yeah, I remember you saying it a while ago.
Yeah. And I eventually got my own platform with SNY. And throughout my years at ESPN and being at the Garden, I built so many relationships. I'm just a goddamn lovable dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I built so many great relationships. The first show I ever did in 2005 that I paid for the airtime, John Starks was my first guest.
Mm-hmm.
And I got no uncle that's high up. I'm not James Dolan's nephew. Like, I just worked my way up. I've literally been to almost every Knick home game the last 20 years, you know? And then when I started my own show, on SNY. Shout out to Tommy D. He gave me the platform. There was no money to start. Mm-hmm. He was like, yo, do what you do. You got the platform. I was having current Knick players call in, former Knick players call in, Spike Lee, Jeff Van Gundy. I remember like a day after a big game, like Jamal Crawford call in, Zach Randolph, David Lee, Jim Boeheim. I had Anthony Anderson call in, Fab, Jada, Action Bronson, Jerry Ferrara. I mean, the list goes on. I had Jada freestyling on the show. I've had Ron Artest many times. The list goes on. A big guest I've had, and I just did it all on my own, just like being around the guard and building relationships, meeting somebody even in the street, introducing myself.
Yeah.
And then eventually you put out a lot of good work, a lot of good content, and eventually money comes eventually, and you start doing some events, and you just figure out how to turn it into money.
Yeah.
And it took some time, but, you know, eventually it works out. And, you know, I'm kind of here now. You know, I got a show on the MSG Network. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll be doing some more content with them down the road. And it's been a long grind. I've been doing this really since 2005.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's taken a while. But, you know, I'm here to stay. I'm not trying to go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the sky's the limit, and it's hard. And right now, it's a tough space. So I feel what helps me is that I've been established for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's I would say CP is at the top of the list right now. But there's so many. There's 6 billion Knick shows now.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out, how are you going to separate yourself? Why am I going to go to this guy? Why am I going to listen? Is he plugged in? Is he entertained? Does he get good guests? Mm-hmm. Does he know what he's talking about? Is he funny? Is he real? So you have to figure out, especially now more than ever, figure out a way to separate yourself from the pack to in order to be successful, especially now in this extremely crowded space.
Yeah, definitely crowded space. I would definitely agree with that. But as you said, you know, as long as the passion is there, you know, the money and everything will follow, or to be able to sustain yourself, I guess, is what Powell was saying. You know, all of that will follow, but, you got to start with the passion and then put the grind behind that, you know, and I've definitely experienced that along the way. And just enjoying the journey, you know, just enjoying the journey.
It's all enjoying the journey, man.
Yeah.
Enjoying the journey. It is a journey. I'm still enjoying every second of it. I still, you know, seeing my first time, you know, I've been in a lot of MSG commercials, but seeing my show for the first time on the MSG Network, that was one of my goals one of my dreams. It wasn't even a goal when I was a kid. It was just a dream to be on the MSG Network. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Alan Hahn wrote about me in his book.
Yeah, shout out Alan Solo, man.
You know, I've been on this grind for a while, and I've done it my way. And, you know, so many people that thought my way was crazy 14, 15 years ago, now asking me for tickets all the time.
salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let's go to the next question. Eh? We got Pablo G. I think you remember Pat.
Of course, I've known Pablo 10-something years probably.
He says, we got asked this question the other night after the Hawks game. He said, what do you like most about this team, and would you rate this season better than 2012-13 or the Linsanity year?
Do I like this? Wait.
What do you like most about the team?
What I like most about the team is that they're young.
Yeah.
So the 2013 team, I guess you knew Melo was going to hopefully be there for 4 or 5 years, and
right.
He was. And you thought we were building something, and unfortunately we weren't. We thought we were.
Mm-hmm.
This team, I love it because it's a shock, first of all. Mm-hmm. I love our coach. And, I mean, it's a shock. And also what we're going through as a city. The city's down right now.
Mm-hmm.
The city's hurting. You know, the city's crying. We need this.
Yeah.
This city needs this uplifting. So that's what makes me and all Knick fans, I think, love this team even more. Because this city, we need it right now.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, 100%. And then the Linsanity, to me, that was a two-week thing.
Linsanity
was
a fun thing.
And I was there for it all. It was fun. But that was a two-week thing.
Yeah.
The 2013 team, I definitely loved. I can't say which team I liked better. I mean, I did love that 2013 team. I love Melo and all the vets, but you knew that team had to win that year or basically the year after.
Yeah.
And then for this team, you could, you know, if things go perfect, you could have RJ and Randall for 7-8 years.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say who I like more, but maybe this one a little more because of the whole shock value also.
Yeah. I would say for me, Yo, Knicks tape season was just special, man. Number
one. It was. Oh, absolutely.
Being at opening night.
The ending was horrible.
It was horrible. Yes, it ended horribly. It ended terribly. Don't get me wrong. But
Boy, Hibbert.
To start the season off washing the Heat at home. I was at that home opener.
Yep.
Hate the Heat. When we ran through them, you know, seeing Melo have success with a team of vets.
Yep.
Rasheed Wallace, one of my favorite players on that team. Kurt
Yo, Thomas Rasheed, you want to play some?
Yeah, come on, bro. Knicks tape was special. 54 wins. I mean, yes, there was expectations there, but I don't think we expected 54 wins in the second team, the East. I mean, they started the season off watching the Heat. I mean, they beat the Heat, I believe, two out of three times that season. It did end terribly. It ended
Three out of four.
The Heat.
Melo went down there and dropped 50 on him before the playoffs.
Facts. That's a fact. That's a fact. So I think that team is still my favorite team of the last 20 years. This team is great because, like I said, I had low expectations for them. And whenever you have low expectations and they blow past it, it's been fantastic seeing how they defend and just how they – the chemistry.
And how they're winning.
And how they're winning.
The eight-game winning streak, seven of the eight have come down to the last minute.
Facts.
And think about this, CP. Now, obviously, we easily could have lost the New Orleans game. Mm-hmm. We easily could have lost the Memphis game.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at that Minnesota game we blew, both Philadelphia games, the Boston game, the Brooklyn game.
Left a lot out there, bro.
I mean, like, I think it was the last time there was a game in the fourth quarter where you could say to yourself, okay, we're just not winning tonight.
Right.
It was probably that Miami game a month ago at the Garden. I think it was a Monday night.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think Miami just kind of dominated us for the most part. And it was Monday night, that's right. And that was the last game that we lost where, you know, with 6 minutes left, you knew we were losing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
They've been in all of them, man. They've been in all of them. And, yeah, like you said, they left a lot on the table. You know, that Boston game still gets me. The Minnesota game definitely.
The Minnesota game. Both Philly games.
Yeah, both Philly games. They
losing
had a
on a call on that Sunday night at the Garden.
Yeah,
a call away from the ball.
Ridiculous, man. So, yeah, you could have had a lot more wins, you know, a couple more wins on the table.
But then also, you know, but I also do feel it evens out because then, you know, Reggie Bullock could have missed that three or RJ could have missed one of those free throws. So I do feel they tend to even out usually, you know.
For sure, for sure. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button.
By the way, RJ hitting those three, obviously that Memphis game, RJ hit the layup to tie it.
Yeah.
But to me, what was more impressive was the possession before him knocking down all three free throws.
Free throws were clutch, bro.
The marbles that took were incredible.
Yeah, the three free throws were clutch. The game tying layup on John Morant. I saw that. When I saw him driving on Morant, I said, all right, this is good. We're good.
Yep.
We're good. And then he hit a big three in overtime as well.
Yep.
Hit a big three in overtime. So shout out to RJ for coming up clutch for us, man. 20 years old, man. 20 years old. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Now the super chat is coming from our guy, Chris Shamus. He says, happy to see you guys on the same screen talking Knicks together. I appreciate you guys. New York forever. Salute my guy, Chris Shamus. Another lifelong season ticket holder.
Yep.
And we did, for those of you in the chat that don't know Chris, we did his Fan Cave episode on Knicks Fan TV. So shout out to Chris. Once everything subsides, and I got to get to your crib, but we got to check out Greg Armstrong's crib as well. I got to get to Fred from Fresh Meadows. I did an interview with Fred from Fresh Meadows as well. Got to get to Fred's
Knicks
crib.
Knicks Fan TV cribs.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And we did Ryan's crib. We went to Brick City. We went to Newark and did Ryan's crib as well. So that was fun while it lasted, man. Hopefully we can get back out there. Once
it's hard to top time. Chris's, though, I feel.
Bro, Chris's is incredible, bro.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's dope. I've been to Greg's house, and mine is good, but – you're not topping. Nobody's topping
Chris. Chris is his Chris.
And not that it's a competition either. But.
Yeah. His setup is unreal. Chris's setup is unreal, man. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out. I saw someone, Mac Alexander, in the chat said that he ran in RJ today. He said RJ was shooting a commercial.
Yeah, I think in Tarrytown. I think he sent me a DM. I think in Tarrytown.
Mm. Okay. So salute to RJ, everybody doing their thing on the day off. We got 2 days off, which is kind of rare with this schedule, man, with this condensed schedule. So
Tibbs was out to dinner with Woody and the
city,
apparently.
Yeah, you had the Woodson going away party, looking like. And
I've been to that restaurant. I went to that restaurant with my friend Eric and Kenny Anderson like 3 years ago, Elio's. Great chicken parmesan.
Okay. I got a chicken parm waiting on me downstairs in a little bit. So we're going to get to some more calls and wrap shortly.
A late night dinner for you.
Yeah, late night dinner for me, man.
Where's it from?
It's about a Long Island pizzaiola. Pizzaiola okay. out here in Long Island, man. So it's usually my weekend vibes. You know, like I said, when I get to the city, it's Pizza Suprema. I'll do a little Joe's. We'll do a little Umberto's. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, yo, Pizza Suprema, bro. That's just my go-to.
We could do it on Monday. Why don't we do it on Monday?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but how long are they open until? Are they open
well,
late?
Well, not at. We got to do it before.
We
got to
do it
game.
Before. Yeah, we
so
got to do
you
it before.
If you get there early, we could have a little Aunt CP pizza party.
Well, yeah, we might have to do it. We could maybe stream a pregame.
We could. We could definitely. I can make
on
that
the
happen.
Channel, bro. All right,
yeah,
cool.
I can make that happen.
Cool. Definitely keep you posted on that. All right, let's go to the Discord. We got to go to my guy, Gotta Be Legend, man. He's checking in from Costa Rica. He's one of the pivotal moderators we got on the Discord, man. Been showing me a lot on this thing. Gotta Be Legend, what's going on, bro?
Yo, what's good, CP? What's good, Anthony?
How you doing, man?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
I'm hanging
yeah,
in there, man.
Right, bro.
Take it 1 second at a time.
I hear you, man. I'm in the middle of my shift, so I'm just going to call in real quick because I wanted to mention something yesterday, but now that you're here, I'll mention it now. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, actually, what do you think about the next 12 games? The Knicks right now, they've won 12 of the last 17 games. So
yeah.
I think the Knicks, with the last 12 games, they need to win at least 8 to get at least 41. What do you guys think? Do you think they could get to 41 wins?
The next 8, let's look at the schedule. Let's look at the schedule. So it's everybody in the chat.
I got it right here.
That thumbs up.
I'll read it to you.
Yeah, run the
Toronto,
game.
Toronto, Phoenix, Chicago, mm-hmm. at Houston, at Memphis, at Denver, at Phoenix, at LA, and back home at against San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. I think the next 5, the toughest one is probably going to be Phoenix. Denver and
well,
Phoenix.
Basketball
is Phoenix,
funny. Yeah, it's
this
game
on Monday, we
can
win. But we got to split
so
those four games, those last 4 road games that we got.
All right, and got to be – your connection was kind of choppy, bro, so I'm going to just disconnect you. But appreciate the call, man. Definitely appreciate the call. Shout-out to you out there in Costa Rica holding it down. Go ahead with your point, man.
Well, you know, listen, you never know what can happen. Basketball is funny. So, you could, you know, the Suns are substantially better than the Raptors. You could lose to Toronto and then beat Phoenix.
You
could
lose to the Bulls.
Of course, you could lose to the Bulls, absolutely. We lost to the Bulls in Chicago a few months ago. That was an annoying loss. So it's tough to say what we're going to do. I really believe, just like in life, you should take one day at a time, 1 second at a time.
Yeah.
We're going to make the playoffs, you know, but we have to take it one game at a time.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is start thinking about, oh, I'm thinking about the Memphis game, or I'm thinking about when we're in Houston, or we're in Denver, or Phoenix, or the 2 L.A. games, and we're back against San Antonio. No. One game at a time. I don't know what our record's going to be. Nobody thought we were going to win 8 in a row.
Yeah, it's a fact.
So, I'm not – it's tough to say, predict what's going to happen. This whole season, since opening night, has been unpredictable.
It's been unpredictable, man. It's been absolutely
so
unpredictable,
I'm not
man.
Going to make a prediction. I am just going to enjoy every second.
Well said.
You know, for us to keep that number 4 seed, you probably want to win 80% of these games. You know, they'll probably we'll probably have a bad loss somewhere in the middle of these games.
Yeah.
Hopefully we go undefeated. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know – it's tough to say what we're going to do, but if we take care of our business, you know, hopefully we can be that number 4 or 5 seed. Obviously, 5, you're not hosting game 1 at home, but hopefully we can hold on to that number 4 seed. That would be incredible. And I think if the Knicks are number 4 seed, that should lock in Tibbs winning Coach of the Year, by the way.
Yeah, well, 100%. If we lock in the 4 seed, Tibbs definitely deserves it.
That should lock
definitely
in.
Definitely deserves that.
Unless someone doesn't give it to Tibbs because, you know, some, you know, security guard did something funny.
Well, as you said, Monty Williams, and I was on Sportsnet 590 in Toronto, and we talked about that. You know, Monty Williams could be a candidate. Well, he's got the Suns in the second seed in out west. How about Quinn Snyder, Utah Jazz? Got him a
of course. Oh, no. All guys who are deserving.
Yeah.
But who would have thought, you know, but here's the thing. You look at the Suns. They have DeAndre Ayton. They have – you know, Devin Booker, they have Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So it's not like, is it that much of a surprise? Like, they should be that good.
They're just doing a lot with a little.
The Jazz.
Yes, yeah.
Every year they're at the top of the Western Conference. So are they a little bit better this year than we thought? Sure.
Yeah.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought the Knicks would even make the playoffs, let alone possibly hosting game 1 of the first round at the world's most famous arena. Madison Square Garden.
Story.
That
Tim,
right
Tim
there,
doing a lot with
Watson,
a little,
head coach of the 2020-2021 season, Tom Thibodeau.
You're right, man. Lowest payroll in the league. you know, Tibbs is doing a lot with a little. You're definitely right on
it's
that.
It's funny you say lowest payroll in the league. I never forget, man, when our payrolls were so
high. The crazy. Highest.
Like, and I remember, like, just being, like, an ESPN, and we would just be on Hoops Hype all the time.
Yeah.
Reading the contracts. And you'd see the contracts. You see, like, Jerome James, 6 years.
The highest and the worst team.
Jerome James.
Jerome James, bro. Jerome
he was
James.
A, he man. Was a character. I don't think he played more than 12 minutes in his contract. Son was a character. Bro. He was a character.
It was just crazy, man. It was just one of those. It was a typical Knicks situation of overpaying a guy. You know, Jerome James had an outstanding run with the Sonics in the playoffs. And I was watching. I was like, yo, he's nice. Who is this guy? Isaiah was like, I want everything. Give me that guy.
But then we signed Jerome and then get Eddie Curry a month later.
Yeah, and then go get Eddie Curry.
It made no sense.
Can't make it up. Can't make it up, man. I think this West Coast trip is really going to determine where the seeding is. You know, at Absolutely. Houston, at Memphis, in Denver. Yes, they don't have Murray, but it's still mile high, and they got Jokic, who's the MVP.
We never win in Denver.
We never win in Denver. Then you got to go
at Phoenix. Listen, CP, I'd sign up for 3-3 on the West Coast right now.
Yeah, yeah. You got to go at Phoenix.
3-3, finish this home trip, even you know, 3-0, even 2-1. But give me 3-3 on the West Coast.
That would be best case scenario, honestly. Yeah. At Clippers, and maybe no Kawhi, we don't know. At Lakers, could have a LeBron James coming back with AD and Drummond and those guys trying to get ready. Then at home, you got a San Antonio game wedged in there. And then two pivotal games, one against Charlotte, and then closing it out against Boston. So nothing is locked in, man. They're
That's
in fourth
why I
right now. They could very easily be in that play-in.
You can't start thinking about games 5 games from now.
Yeah, yeah.
One game at a time.
True story. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let's see who's in there vibing with us. Yeah, somebody said KP got injured last night with an injured ankle. How does that impact the Knicks pick? I mean, that would make a special season even more special if we ended up with a playoff spot and still in the lottery.
Yeah, things like that don't happen.
That does not happen to the Knicks. So KP got injured. There's also an article out there from Mark Cuban saying him and Luka Doncic don't really get along. So there could be chemistry issues.
I thought they were best buds. Remember the night before the KP trade, Dallas was here.
I was there.
Him and Luka was all winking at each
other. Yeah. That was a crazy night, man. That was an absolutely crazy night. And I think. Were you there? It was Greg was there, the same bar we go to after the game. But I left, and then Greg told me that Mark Cuban came in there.
Mark Cuban came in there,
and obviously he knew what was going down because the next day the trade was announced.
And then the next morning, I remember Woj tweeted like, KP isn't happy, and I'm like, that's weird. He's been out all year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
5 minutes later,
KP, and it said KP demands a trade, and I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Then 5 minutes later, KP wasn't a Knick anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, what? It all happened so – and I'll be honest, I was devastated.
Yeah, me too. I'm
not going to lie. I loved KP.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought I could – I love the Knicks just as much now as I did when I was 12 years old. But I never thought I could love a player again. And I loved KP.
Yeah.
I loved him. I loved him. He was charismatic. He could play. I was worried about his durability. But as a fan, just a straight fan
– Yeah.
I love this dude.
We had open KP,
I made him a get well card.
I brought
it to him at his crib.
Yeah.
I love this guy. And all of a sudden, KP, you know, all of a sudden, like, KP's out. And then all of a sudden, he wants a trade. And he was traded in 30 minutes.
Yo, like, it was a domino effect of tweets. And I was like, wait, what's going on? Wait a minute. And then, like, Woj was like, yeah, like you said, he's not happy. Then it was like, he's requesting a trade. Then Ramona Shelbourne jumped on him. It was like,
in 2 hours.
Within 2 hours.
It wasn't like, even like a 10-day thing. It was like 90 minutes.
Yo, no time to prepare, bro. No time to prepare. All of a sudden, it's a blockbuster trade. I'm like, whoa, what's going on, man?
Yeah, and you wonder if, like, I like Steve Mills a lot, and if he really knew, like, okay, maybe we got to get rid of this dude. Obviously, you bring back Dennis Smith, who's not good at NBA basketball.
No.
Better at basketball than you and I, but he's not good at NBA basketball. But then you get these picks, and you bring in Randall, and maybe Steve was on to something.
Maybe, man. maybe at least he's got his board seat. You know what I mean? Dolan didn't ditch him completely. He still left him on the board. So definitely want to shout out. So to everybody in the chat, shout out PMO Philip in the chat. What's going on? How you feeling? We got Navy Blue 76. All the mods, appreciate you. Gotham says OMG Jerome James. Kevin Woodridge says Eddie Curry. What's good, Kevin? How you feeling? My guy JJ from Brooklyn is in the chat. David Futternick, what's going on? True Pace says love the chat. Love Knicks. Let's go. Salute to you. I didn't see any hashtag news in here, but hey, three cities in the chat, man. Let us know where you guys are checking in from. We'll shout you guys out as well. CP Anthony MSG in the building. All right, we'll take a couple more calls before we wrap. Let's go to Kevin from Maryland. Kevin, what's going on?
What's going on?
How you doing, bro?
How you doing, CP?
Good, good.
I'm doing good. Oh, quick question. Well, I just read that, you know, the Mets signed Mike James. And I thought the Knicks – I know the Knicks were in talks to try to get him as well.
Yeah.
I know he's a good European player. But as usual, the Nets are always trying to play spoiler to the New York Knicks
right.
in any and everything they try to get. But I like the team that we have right now. They're young. They're going to be one of the up-and-coming young teams. For the NBA, LeBron James can't play forever. Kevin Durant won't be playing forever. You know, these guys are getting older. And as the NBA progresses, it's starting to become younger and younger. And I like that.
Yeah, well, it's good to see that at the very least. Appreciate the call, Kev. It's good to see that at the very least we have some semblance of a young core, right? We just talked about earlier the curse of Charlie Ward and who might break it. But it's encouraging still to see, yes, we have a bevy of vets, and I think you need that. You know, a lot of the guys that come on the show, bro, they talk about the fact that you need quality veterans to win. And I think you've seen that in having Derrick Rose, having guys like Taj, even Julius at this point. He's still young, but 7 years in the league, he's grown, he's matured, and that's showing on the court. But it's still good to see that we have at least a semblance of a young core with RJ, Emmanuel Quickly. We'll see how long Mitch is here for, but, you know, Mitch was coming around before his injuries. At least we have those three. OB starting to play a little bit better. How long he's here, we'll see, but, we'll see where that goes. At least, you know, in that mix of vets, you have some young guys that are big contributing factors to this roster this year.
No, absolutely, and that's something the Knicks have not had for a long time, where you have a good team that can maybe they can get to the playoffs, perhaps advance, but also you're not going to have a brand – obviously there will be changes next year, but you're not going to have a brand-new roster again. So even when – let's say we lose in the first round, hopefully we don't, or the second round or the conference finals, you're going to say to yourself, I'm excited about next year's team, where every end of the season the last few years is like, oh, this year sucked, and what is next year going to be? Where this year is going to be like, yo, this year was good. What is next year going to be?
Right.
You know,
what is next year going to bring, man? Four draft picks in this draft. Got to think they're walking out with two. I think two will be – they're not going to draft all four, at least all four on the roster next year, because I think Tibbs is – they're going to start looking. They're going to start looking to make their move.
Absolutely.
I don't know, you know, what it'll be or who it will be, but you got to think that, you know, with four draft picks, all four of these young guys are not going to be making the team, so – We'll see
100% agree.
We'll see what they do, man. I want to shout out in the chat, shout out Evan Kupferberg. He's team hashtag new. We got Kay Flood in the chat from Amityville. Salute to Amityville, LI stand up. We got Gotham checking in from the Heights. Salute to Gotham. My guy Lash checking in from Dallas. We got Chip. Chip is also checking in from Washington Heights, 180th Street. Salute to Washington Heights. Michael Anderson says Jared Jeffries, MVP. Darnell Green.
Jared did I learned to like Jared over the course of time.
Yeah.
He had butterfingers,
but
he did have a high basketball IQ, but his butterfingers drove me nuts, just like Elfrid Payton and his missed chip shots, you know?
Absolutely, bro. 100%.
The butterfingers were mind-boggling, by the way.
100%. Let's hear from Kenyon from Brooklyn. Kenyon, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, CP? Anthony, what's going on, man?
My guy Kenny, what's up, brother?
Are you going to talk about your tendency to take basketball shots? You never seen a shot you didn't like.
Well, CP didn't ask me about my playing skills, you know.
But I wanted to talk about my one concern with the team going forward. I think we're going to finish with 40 wins, but my concern is Elfrid Payton. Like, when Burks come back, we should really look to ice Payton out the rotation. You look at the plus-minus – We fall behind every game with that guy on the court. I'd rather just say, you know, keep Rose come off the bench and let Burks handle the point and let quickly get some point guard burn.
It's not going to happen.
I think
Alfred Payton happen.
Is –
I get
you,
your point, but it's not going to happen. Tibbs trusts Payton too much.
Yeah, I guess so, man. But anyway,
I get where you're coming from. Just there's zero chance that happens.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Kenny. Thanks for the call, man.
All right, man. Take care. Peace.
Kenny, my God. Thank you, brother.
I'm with you, bro. I think Tibbs likes Payton. Tibbs likes Payton more than we do. And
yeah,
he was on the record as saying, he said, listen, I like that Payton gives us some switchability on the defensive side, that he's big, he's strong, and he doesn't get pissed around on the mismatches. Tibbs is defense first, and that's how he's analyzing the game. I think Alec Burks will give you an adequate defense.
I don't like Alec running the point, though. I like when he can come off screen.
It's a little iffy.
He can ball on the deck. He can create his own shot.
Yeah.
I don't want Alec Burks running the point.
I look at Burks as like the emergency point. You know what I'm saying? Like when you need him out there because you need extra spacing and extra offense, he's capable at running the point. I just don't think Tibbs goes there as a reliable piece.
Alfred Payton is here to stay for at least the rest of this season.
Yeah. And with Payton, if we see him, you just want to see him knock down those shots in the rim. You know, get those
layups. I don't care if you miss threes even. Just make the shots in the paint. I get nervous when he gets in the paint.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a weird feeling as a fan. I don't want to be nervous when my point guard goes up for a layup, but I am with him.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%. Let me see my guy Davis tell me right now. Okay, my guy Papa Left is here. All right, so we'll close with Papa Left. Salute to A.O. Powell. He sends a super chat. He says, Jared Harper, a.k.a. Mario Stanfield, and Miles Powell just got signed to a 10-day. What kind of precedent do you think this sets this late in the season? So according to Ian, I think Jared Harper's contract is a 10-day, but it's to get him some more income. For Miles Powell, it's the same thing, but what Ian was saying is that Miles Powell is not expected to stay with the team.
Right.
So what it seems like is that they just want to get this kid an extra bag for coming through, and I don't know, but you know Powell's not sticking around, but it just seems like you know they just want to get him in here and get him some cash, and you know that's good on them.
Jared Harper will probably be here for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. So Harper goes from a 2-way to a 10-day, and then I think he'll probably get a vet minimum type of deal. So. Again, low-level moves, I don't expect them, you know, these guys to come up and, you know, make an immediate impact with the team. But, you know, still contributors in the bench and still contributors in practice. So, the front office obviously.
And you need – and I'll tell you what, guys like that are important. When you have a guy like a Jared Harper and these guys who aren't playing at all being the biggest cheerleaders on the bench and not sulking, CP, that's so important for the mental makeup of a team.
True. Yeah, Pinson, bro. I never seen this guy so happy to not play.
Yeah, right. No, Pinson as well. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like David Wingate back in the day.
David Wingate. Like Rick Brunson.
Rick Brunson, you know Eric Anderson.
Yeah.
Great 12th men.
100%. 100%. You know? All right, let's close this thing out. My guy Papa Left from Jersey. Papa Left, how you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good, man. You guys are just so consistent with this channel. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Shout out to everybody in the Discord. Shout out to Dave. I just wanted you guys to rank from 1 to 3 who's most responsible for this turnaround with Leon Rose, Tom Thibodeau, and Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to speak on Tibbs real quick. Tibbs. It really made sense when I try to, like, look him up and find his backstory. This dude, I don't know if anybody knows this, but this dude in college, if you know the story, shout out to you. But in college, apparently he was dating two girls with the same name.
What?
And he dumped one of them. I'm sorry, this is a real story, by the way. You can look it up. He dumped one of them, and the other one, he got engaged and he broke off the engagement and his mother told him to give back the ring because that's rude.
What?
And he gave back the engagement ring and then he is quoted as saying, I am a basketball coach. I have no time for a woman in my life. So when you look at Tibbs pissed off that dude's not closing out to Goodwin on the Hawks, like this is like
a level of frustration possibly that no man can bear for 60 some odd years of life. So that's an interesting backstory to the legend of Tibbs. But yeah, going forward, I just wanted to hear who you guys think is most responsible for this year. I don't see that he's married, but three guys, Rose, Julius, and Tibbs, rank those as part of like who's most responsible.
Most
and then
responsible.
If you could finish this sentence, the Knicks will make an extended playoff run if, and have a good night.
All right.
You want responsible for the
first?
Turnaround?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Julius first because he's actually on the court. You know, Julius number one, Tibbs right below him, and then Rose. And then the Knicks will make a deep playoff run if those other guys like Alec Burks, Reggie Bullock, even Elfrid Payton step up. I truly believe RJ, Julius Randle, Derrick Rose, they're going to step up. If those other guys that you get contributions from, like Burks, like Reggie Bullock, like Taj Gibson, if they can still contribute, then this Knicks team will make a deep playoff.
Yeah. I'm going Tibbs first, bro, because I feel like it's their defense that has kept them in these games and allowed them to get these wins. You know, this
and
offense
now, I, to
is
be
still
honest,
struggling.
I do think it's Tibbs first too. Yeah. I just kind of wanted to give it to Julius.
Yeah, of course,
playing.
Of course.
In my heart and brain, I know it's Tibbs.
Yeah, I'm going Tibbs first because, like I said, outside of yes, Burks is a new piece and D Rose is a new piece. This is largely Fizdale's same team. You know, for the most part. And this is night and day from a defensive standpoint where these guys are locked in. You rarely see them making mistakes. Remember in previous years, especially last year, when a guy would get a bucket on them and guys would be looking at each other, pointing fingers like, is that you? Was that you? What's going on? They're rarely out of sync on the defensive end, bro. They are locked in.
And like I was saying, even the games we lose, we're never down by 15 in the fourth quarter.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like the effort most of the time is there. You rarely see games where it's just like, all right, they let go of the rope. They quit tonight. Last year, that it was in abundance. I think Tibbs is number one. Julius definitely number two. Easily number two. Crazy bounce back year. Most improved year for sure. And then I would say Leon Rose third. Knicks make it to the second round. Depending on how they execute their half-court offense, they're going to see a lot more zone. They're going to see more double teams from Julius. He's got to, you know, make quick decisions, make impactful decisions. They have to cut down on the turnovers in the half court. And then piggybacking on what you said, that supporting cast, Bullock, Burks, especially Derrick Rose, they have to come up big and they have to be consistent in the playoffs for us to have a chance.
And Emmanuel quickly as well. Yeah, I think Julius is great with making quick decisions. Like when he gets doubled, like if you look at that play to where it went to overtime on Wednesday night, he got the ball ISO 5 seconds left. I think Julius thought he was going to get doubled and he was going to pass it right away. Mm-hmm. Instead, they single covered him. He ended up taking a really horrible shot. He missed, and then we ended up dominating in overtime.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're definitely probably going to see a lot of zone, but I think we've been much better against
they've
the zone during the streak.
They've gotten better. But I just think that that impacts RJ a lot. And it's going to impact Julius, so we got to see how they execute in the half court. I think if they can execute in the half court and be better against the zone, combined with, you know, that supporting cast, Reggie Bullock shot 12 threes on the Hawks game. We need that every night. He's got to let it fly. He's a starting three. He's a starting two.
Let it fly.
He's got to let that fly, bro. We need that from him. We need that production from him.
And maybe Mitchell Robinson. Is he going to come back?
I don't think so, man. You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. With two bad injuries, the hand and the foot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure from a business decision, from a future standpoint, I don't think they rush him. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor, but
I don't know either. I don't know.
I just don't feel like Mitch is going to be back, man.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But if he can come back and give you a few minutes, that's not a bad thing either.
Of course. So I thought Papa Lef was going to be the closer, but we got a last-minute call in. We got to go to her. It's the Knicks chick. Maria's in the building closing us out. Maria, what's going on?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Good.
What's up, Maria?
Doing? What's up, Ann? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. That chicken sandwich knocked me out yesterday.
We had lunch, and Ant was out for 3 hours.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw
it. Did you have that chicken sandwich, by the way, Maria?
I did. It was banging. Shout out to Empanology and Bronx Brewery while we're at it.
Yeah, I got to check that out, man. Definitely been meaning to check out Bronx Brewery before the pandemic. So once things subside, yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out.
Good. Well, I'm going to let Ann tell it, but he's got something brewing for up there. So stay tuned.
Okay. All right.
Stay tuned. Yeah. So I just want to say tips for Coach of the Year. I know I already heard you guys talk about it a bit before, but, mm-hmm. You know, I think that he's not like a few other coaches that shall remain nameless that were just handed a beautiful team and, you know, did what they were supposed to do with it.
Exactly.
And I think it's a rare, like, yeah, it's a rare occasion that we get to compare really like apples to apples year after year where we have almost an identical team and you can really see the progress that he's been able to make, you know. And we didn't add a marquee player. Like, we made a marquee player out of a veteran, you know. Like, Julius Randle is not a rookie, a second-year player. You're talking about a guy who could have already been set in his ways, you know what I'm saying, set in his weight also. So you managed to change the work ethic and play style and, mm-hmm. and turnover to assist ratio of Julius Randle. That's huge, you know, in addition, of course, to the growth that RJ has made and everybody else and Bullock playing solid, you know. But I just think it's such a rare opportunity to be able to compare somebody for Coach of the Year with almost identical team year.
True.
You know, from one year to next.
True story.
And he's just proven that he's done something nobody else is ever able to do.
Big time.
So regardless of our record, you know, we're up there. Our record is phenomenal for who we are and what everybody expected us to be. But I think that even if it's not comparable to, you know, the record that Doc Rivers holds or that Utah has, I just think that he's made such a huge case for it.
100%. 100%. And as we said, and he's doing a lot with a little, man.
Yeah, how many times have you seen it? Like Maria just said, how many times? Like, basically, the roster's give or take the same as last year. Yeah. Obviously, you added Obi quickly, Alec Burks, you know, and, you know, Nerlens Noel, but nobody major. And to go from a team that was 800 games under 500 last year to a potential four seed?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Crazy. Don't make me do the math. You know I'm a math teacher. Don't make me do the math and tell you the percentage of improvement because I know he'll win if I do the numbers.
Going to get Maria a job in the analytics department.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, man. definitely just been a sight to see with this team. Six games over 500. What can I say? I should have bet on Vegas. I should have taken that bet. I fell for it, man. Once they said 22 wins, I said, Vegas always knows. So I said, damn, I'm going with 26.
Vegas is off on this one. I think everybody was.
They were off. They were off, man. So let's get this W tomorrow. Tomorrow's game is going to be tricky, man. Toronto won four in a row.
Nine in a row tomorrow.
But, you know, Toronto won four in a row. They're coming in fully healthy. The Anobi Siakam versus RJ Julius matchup is going to be key for me. They're moving Gary Trent Jr. to the bench with Malachi Flynn. Them two versus D Rose and quickly off the bench. That's going to be a matchup. The Knicks got to come in ready, man, because this Toronto team, they're only half game out of 10th for the play in. So they're going to come in ready. And they lost a tough close game to the Knicks.
We're on fire and we're home.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's a big game. It's going to be 70 degrees outside. So it's a short stay at the Garden. No. So tomorrow's a huge game, and the 2,000 fans that will be in the building are going to be fired up. There's no doubt about that.
100% facts. Maria, appreciate you calling in, man. Enjoy the weekend for sure. The Knicks chick in the building.
Thank you. You guys, too. I'll see you at a game soon.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Later, Maria.
That was Maria from Queens, a.k.a. the Knicks chick. Make sure you guys give her a follow on Instagram as well. And great show, man. Great show.
It was great finally doing this. I know we've talked about this for a while. A lot of people on Twitter, you know, kept saying we got to do it.
100%.
Now, what a perfect time to do it. 8-game winning streak, and, you know, every time you want, we'll do it again. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, man. When we get closer to this playoff push, we'll definitely do it. And when they go on the road, you know, maybe we'll bring you in for a post-game show as well.
I'm with it, man. I'm getting back on my grind. I basically took almost 2 years off doing Knicks content.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm back. No doubt.
Let the people know. I'm going to throw the screen on you. Just let the people know where they can find you, bro.
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram, AnthonyMSG. Holler at me. And like CP said, put the thumbs up for the boys at Knicks Fan TV. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. You, Ashley, everybody else, y'all doing incredible.
Appreciate it, man. Always appreciate it. And salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Anthony MSG. Hit that like button for Anthony MSG on this mailbag episode. Remember, the show's available in audio podcast format. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the main ones, so you don't miss it. This episode is presented by Manscaped, as usual. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with promo code NYX. Number one men's grooming tool from head to toe. Earlier this morning, I was on with those guys at Sportsnet 590 in Toronto talking about this Knicks 8-game winning streak, and we previewed the Knicks versus Raptors game. So make sure you check that out. TM or the mods in the chat if you throw that in the chat for the people to watch. And, yeah, man, got a ton of content on this. Salute to Replay Gang for those of you that are going to be watching later on this evening and into the morning. And we'll see you guys tomorrow, man. Big game Saturday, matinee game, Knicks versus Raptors. Don't sleep. Like I said, this Raptors team is coming in healthy, and they're going to want some revenge on the Knicks. So Knicks got to come in ready to go. This Raptors team is going to fight them defensively as well. So we'll see what happens. Anthony will be at the game. Follow him for game coverage. And you know where to keep it locked to after the game. Knicks Fan TV, number one show for the fans by the fans.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.